Good morning. Just wanting to check, is the sound quality okay? Okay, looks like we're good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 106:1. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all. It's nice to be gathered together to honor the Lord and to listen to his word, the Bible. Today we'll have a Thanksgiving message. Since I have no PowerPoint or short videos to show, today you will likely be thankful that today's message will be shorter, about the time it's supposed to be. And some of you aren't going to like this, but it's only 75 days till Christmas. Good, now that I have all you Christmas fans, merry and bright, I'd like to look at some of what the Bible has to say about being thankful. Just before we look at the scriptures, why don't we ask the Lord for his help? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wonderful glory, your majesty, for creation that proclaims your greatness. And thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made a way for each one of us to have a right relationship with you. We pray that we'd be granted wisdom this day, Father, and that your Son, the Lord Jesus, would be magnified high. And in his name we pray and give you thanks. Amen. So what's the origin of Thanksgiving Day that we'll be celebrating tomorrow and many of us celebrate today? There are many stories that have American English colonists, the Pilgrims of Plymouth, celebrating a bountiful harvest with a Native American people in the year 1621. And some call this the first Thanksgiving. Our modern Thanksgiving Day here in Canada was established in the year 1957. On January 31st, 1957, the Governor General of Canada, Vincent Massey, issued a proclamation stating a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed, to be observed on the second Monday in October. I'd like to state that again so that we have a clear understanding of how Canada's modern Thanksgiving Day came about. On January 31st, 1957, the Governor General of Canada, Vincent Massey, issued a proclamation stating a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. And Canada is a blessed country. Canada's Thanksgiving Day is to be used to give thanks to Almighty God. That's its purpose, giving thanks to the Almighty. One of the scriptures in the Bible that reference God Almighty is Revelation chapter 15 and verse 3, where it says, "And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations." Who are we thanking on this day? We should be thanking God Almighty, the God of the Bible. So what does being thankful mean? I mean, here we are on Thanksgiving Day, Sunday, celebrating a holiday. But why are we celebrating this holiday? What does being thankful mean? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines thankful as being conscious of benefit received. This means that someone is aware that they have received some benefit. Thankful is an adjective. And without getting too much into our English language, an adjective is a word that describes a noun or a pronoun. You may recall from English class that a noun is a person, place, or thing. That means the word thankful describes a person. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of someone that you know that you would describe as being thankful? Let me ask you another question. Would someone describe you as being that someone who is thankful? Interestingly enough, the word thanksgiving is slightly different from the word thankful. The Cambridge Dictionary defines thanksgiving as the act of saying or showing that you are grateful, especially to God. This means that thanksgiving is directly connected to Almighty God. Coming back to that thought of a thankful person, what does a thankful person look like? I don't know if I could fully describe the thankful person, but some synonyms of the word thankful are delighted, glad, gratified, happy, joyful, joyous, pleased, satisfied. Delighted, glad, happy, joyous, and all the other words of thankfulness and contentment. You might be thinking to yourself, thankful? Doesn't the preacher guy know that we are in the middle of a pandemic with restrictions, lockdowns, vaccine mandates, and passports and all that? You might be fearful. You might be scared. Perhaps you wonder if a new COVID restriction will come out tomorrow that will disrupt your day and the schedule once again. Could I get COVID? Will I get COVID? You're working from home and then back to the work building, then just as fast you're back working from home again. Am I going into work tomorrow, you wonder? Is schooling happening tomorrow? Will the business I have an appointment with tomorrow close down suddenly? Things are so unsure these days. Just what is there to be thankful for? This is a messed up world. You may be fighting with your spouse these days, or your marriage is shaky. A lot of marriages are experiencing that these days. You may not be seeing eye to eye with your children over COVID protocols or seeing the grandchildren. I've heard a lot about this over the last couple of years. Perhaps you're being forced through a vaccine mandate to take the COVID vaccine that you were not ready to take just yet. And now you have to because your very livelihood is on the line. Maybe you've been recently randomly assaulted in a local park or downtown when you were just going about your day. Or yet yelled at by a family member over something COVID or vaccine related. Families are breaking down these days, even in the churches. Men are leaving their wives, wives are leaving their husbands, children can become rebellious and argumentative, and families are falling apart, arguing, fighting, and turning against each other. Do you know a family like that? Are you yourself going through something like that? This is a messed up world. May you have seen the chaos and the death of the U.S. withdrawal in Afghanistan as people cling onto airplanes in an ever small chance of hope of fleeing the country, only to fall to their deaths after the plane climbs higher and higher into the sky. Maybe you read recently that the U.S. Defense Secretary apologized for a drone strike in the Afghan capital that mistakenly killed 10 civilians, including 7 children, during the chaotic U.S. pullout in August, thinking that the group was a group of Islamic State terrorists. But it wasn't a group of Islamic State terrorists. It was families with children. A Wall Street Journal news article about this event begins with, "The U.S. military said Friday that it mistakenly killed at least 10 Afghan civilians, including 7 children, but not an Islamic State terrorist as intended when it launched a drone strike on a car in Kabul last month." Maybe you have seen the thousands and tens of thousands of migrants on the U.S. border trying to make it into the U.S. for a chance at a better life and traveling on foot through multiple nations. And as one news reporter stated, Many of them have made it through some of the most dangerous wilderness on this planet. A Reuters news story documenting the route that many of the migrants take states, most of the Haitians who are coming to the southern border have walked through at least 10 countries to get here. The travel is done by walking mostly and with some bus riding. It is perilous. Most clients speak of being beaten and robbed between Colombia and Panama. Many people die in the journey. Women have had miscarriages during the journey as well. Perhaps you are concerned at the 9 million, yes, 9 million people that die every year from starvation. Just as a comparison, over the entire pandemic since January 2020, 4.5 million people have died of COVID. I'm not mitigating the seriousness of the COVID pandemic here. COVID is a real and a serious matter. I am putting it into perspective of other things that are also happening in the world today to show how serious starvation in the world is. One anti-hunger organization states, a child dies from hunger every 10 seconds. Poor nutrition and hunger is responsible for the death of 3.1 million children a year. That's nearly half of all deaths in children under the age of 5. The children die because their bodies lack basic nutrients. The most recent statistics from the BC CDC inform us that the average age of death from COVID in BC is 83 years old. A Globe and Mail news story from 2004 has this headline. Obesity now kills 1 in 10, research suggests. The article states, being overweight and obesity are important public health problems in Canada, accounting for approximately 57,000 deaths over the last 15 years. You might be thinking to yourself, you mean that starvation kills a lot more people every year than COVID, and that one of the most affected groups that die of starvation is children? And even more so here in Canada, we don't have anyone that really dies of starvation, but we die from eating too much food? Why don't we have a starvation response plan like we have a COVID response plan? You might be thinking to yourself, this is a messed up world. What about the drug overdoses that occur right here in BC? Here's some stats from the BC government website on drug overdoses in BC. Since January 2020, here in BC, 2,938 people died of drug overdoses. As a comparison, 1,951 people died from COVID in the same time period here in BC. In the same time period from drug overdoses here in BC, 37 deaths were children under the age of 19. Again, as a comparison, 2 deaths in the same age group have been attributed to COVID. Again, I am not mitigating the seriousness of the COVID pandemic here, but I am showing that there are many things going on in this world that are causing harm, disruption, and death. And some of these things are even more serious than COVID. We may all begin to cry if I was to try and explain how the COVID lockdowns and pandemic rules that have been implemented have inadvertently caused the price of food and goods to go up. And if all you have, all you earn is used to buy food, and there are many places in the world that are like this, so that you can just survive, well then that reduced hours at work due to a lockdown, that increase in food costs, it might mean your life, or your wife's life, or the life of your child. What's the greater threat? COVID or starvation? I don't know. This is a messed up world. This brings me to the part of today's message that I really want to get to. And that part is, Jesus is the only good thing in this world. This world is messed up. And the only thing good in this world is Jesus. And thank the Lord, Jesus is returning. Here's a question I'd like you to ask yourself. So why is the world so messed up? The answer? It's because of sin. Because of your sin, and because of my sin, and because of the sins of all the past generations. We are all sinners by nature and by choice. And we have caused a messed up world. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God created everything perfect, and he created man and woman without sin. But we sinned. It was us. Don't think you can blame Adam or Eve, because if it was you or I, we'd fail too. Adam and Eve sinned, and because of their sin, they passed on their sin gene, their sin nature, to us all. And because of sin, God cursed the earth as one of the consequences of our sin. And death also came about. Spiritual death and physical death. All mankind are sinners by nature and by choice. We are wretched, horrible, disobedient sinners who, left to ourselves, have no hope and only bring about war, greed, murder, and death. Wow, you might say. It's a really hard opinion you have of the human race there, preacher. It is true. Left to ourselves, each and every one of us would be deserving of and would indeed send ourselves to hell. So in the midst of all this, in the midst of the war, the suffering, that starvation and COVID pandemic, we can be thankful for Jesus. Why would one be thankful for Jesus in all this? Because he can save us from this. This doesn't mean that he's going to stop the wars, eliminate starvation, or make the pandemic end. That will eventually happen when Jesus returns. He certainly could do these things right now, but his plan is not to save us for this world. It is to save us from this world and from ourselves. When Jesus returns, judgment is coming. His plan is so much greater, so much better, so much higher. God wants to save you for his kingdom and the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no more war, no more hunger, no more disease, no more death. Sometimes bad things do happen. Sometimes suffering does happen. Sometimes sickness does happen. But in God's new heaven and new earth, there will be none of these things. In God's kingdom, there will be righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 17. The only way into this new kingdom is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." John 14, 6. The goodness and the kindness of God is the only thing that is keeping this world from complete destruction. The world is being kept for judgment at the moment. This world isn't God's final product. There isn't anything good, if there is anything good or pleasant happening in your life, that is only because of the goodness and the kindness of God. And it is that goodness and kindness of God that leads one to repentance. And to God alone, you can give thanks for that good or pleasant thing that is happening in your life. Even though times are tough for many people, and they are, God's word is the place to go for one is thankful and for when one is having a hard time being thankful. God's word tells us of his plan for you and I, and that he is coming again for his church. Jesus is going to judge this world and every single person living in it. Those that choose Jesus are going to enjoy an eternity of good and kindness And those that reject Jesus are going to send themselves to hell by their own choice. Hell is a place of fire, of torture, of suffering for all eternity. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." All those that reject Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior send themselves by their own choice to the very same place that the devil is going to, the lake of fire. If you have not yet made that decision of what to do with Jesus, and you have to make a choice, there is no other way than to make a choice. A wise choice, a right choice, would be to right now repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, and to give thanks to God for Jesus. Paul often thanked God for other believers in Christ. In many of his letters, Paul says something like this from verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers." Perhaps that is something we often overlook in our daily lives. Are you thankful for other believers in Christ? I am so thankful for Westview and the believers that are here. And I want to say thank you to Westview's elders, Larry, Gerald, and Steve, men who sacrificed their time, their energy, and themselves to look after those that attend here at Westview and at other local churches. And to their wives, Laura, Carol, and Judy, women who give their all to the Lord Jesus Christ to also support their local church and to support their husbands who must constantly be under spiritual attack. And a thank you to our deacons, Steve and Chris, men who have less time than most of us due to families and jobs, yet find even more time than they have to look after the needed things here at Westview and are always ready to help any one of us who are in need. Keenan, Danny, Sean, young men that shine, thank you for your work here with the various youth groups and wherever the Lord finds you. A thank you to my wife, Rania, who has a desire to minister to young ladies and to see them grow in Christ. Deb, thank you for your great photos and the time and effort you put in to make all of us look the best we can and for ensuring that we all get at least one family photo every year. Dale and Kelly, thank you for you and your family's dedication to the gospel, to Westview, and to Morningstar. Jana, thank you for using your gifts and playing the piano, for your efforts with Camp Imidine. Thank you to those who help with Sunday school. Thank you to those who keep the chapel clean and operational, the coffee brewed and the chairs arranged. And I know there are many others here that work hard to serve the Lord and to serve His people. So thank you. And I'm sorry I didn't go on longer or if I missed anyone. The fault is mine. Even though we may be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we likely won't always get along with each other. But the problem is usually not with others. With ourselves. As an illustration, there are three times I remember having a serious difference of views with my wife over the course of our marriage. Three times that I recall. If you ask Rania, I'm sure she'll remember many more. In these three times I remember, she said the same thing. She said to me in our argument, "If you want me to change, tell God about it and let Him change me." I took her up on this challenge. And so three times, I got myself ready. I made a time in my day to seek the Lord. I was going to ask the Lord with a clean and sincere heart. I was going to bring Him my problem, the problem I was having with another person. I found a private area. I got on my knees and I bowed my head and I honestly sought the Lord. Each of these three times I started my prayer and said, Lord, do you know what came out of my mouth next? Probably not, because I was as surprised as anyone. My next words out of my mouth were, and this was all three times, Lord, I prayed, change me. Lord, change me. That was my prayer. That's what came out of my mouth. Really, Lord, that's the problem? The problem's not with my wife. It's with me. Well, of course, we all have problems. And the problem is not always me. But I guess as long as I was going to be honest with the Lord about my wife, He was going to be honest with me about myself. I wonder, is this a prayer some of us need to pray today? To ask God to change us to be thankful for others, especially be thankful for other Christians? Because they are God's children, and you'll be spending eternity with them. Jesus was thankful. He was. He was always thanking His Father. He thanked His Father for the physical food that God provided, Matthew 11:25. He thanked His Father for hearing His prayers, John 11:41. During the Last Supper, before Jesus gave His disciples the bread and the wine, He gave thanks, Luke 22:19. God likes to be thanked, just like you do, just like your parents do. In fact, God gets upset when we do not thank Him for all the goodness He provides, when it is perfectly clear that all good things come from Him. Romans chapter 1 verses 20 and 21 says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In the Old Testament, the Levite's job was to take care of the tabernacle and assist with all the sacrifices that would take place. The tabernacle, which was portable and movable, was to become the temple of God, built in Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, which King David, king of Israel, had prepared all the materials and the men for its construction. However, the Levite's job was about to change from maintaining and caring for the portable tabernacle to maintaining and caring for the more permanent temple of God, and to continue to assist with all the sacrifices. I'd like to read a portion of scripture from 1 Chronicles chapter 23 verses 25 to 32. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 23 starting at verse 25. In 1 Chronicles 23, it says, for David said, the Lord God of Israel has given rest to His people, and He dwells in Jerusalem forever. Also, the Levites will no longer need to carry the tabernacle and all its utensils for its service. For by the last words of David, the sons of Levi were numbered from 20 years old and upward. For their office is to assist the sons of Aaron with the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things, even the work of the service of the house of God. And with the showbread and the fine flour for a grain offering and unleavened wafers, or what is baked in the pan, or what is well mixed with all measures of volume and size. They are to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening, and to offer all burnt offerings to the Lord on the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the fixed festivals, in the number set by the ordinance concerning them, continually before the Lord. Thus they are to keep charge of the tent of meeting and charge of the holy place and charge of the sons of Aaron, their relatives, for the service of the house of the Lord. In this passage of scripture, the tabernacle of God still existed. It was just moving to the more permanent temple of God, and the duties of those that maintained the tabernacle changed a bit, as they no longer had to deal with putting up, taking down, and transporting the tabernacle. Fast forward to the New Testament, and the temple of God is now the individual believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, united with all believers all over the world. This is known as the body of Christ, part of which is you and I gathered today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The New Living Translation translates this verse as, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you?" So the movable tabernacle was moved to the more permanent temple of God, and the more permanent temple of God moved to the even more permanent location of the believer in the Lord Jesus. And the duties of those that maintained the temple and assisted with all the sacrifices changed a lot. The Lord Jesus fulfilled all the sacrifices of the law, which were all pictures, examples, and the foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection. If you take this passage we just read in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, what is left for the ministering priests in the New Testament to do if there is no more physical temple and there are no more sacrifices? And all those in Christ are priests to a living God. The answer is in verse 30 of 1 Chronicles 23. 1 Chronicles 23 verse 30 says, "They are to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening." That's what's left. To every morning and every evening to thank and to praise the Lord. What kind of sacrifice is God interested in from you? Does he want your money? No, he doesn't want your money. Nor am I, nor anyone else here going to ask for any money. Feel free to give a gift of your heart's desire. But God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And from a cheerful heart, one gives. Does he want your good works? Good works will not get you into heaven. And good works on earth, not done in the name of Jesus, will get you no reward from God. It might get you less punishment in hell, which is still a horribly bad thing. But good works not done in the name of Jesus will get you nothing from God. If God doesn't want my money and he doesn't want my good works, then what does he want? God wants you to be saved and to believe in Jesus. And then you will have something to offer God. And one of the things that you can offer to God, that you can give as a sacrifice, is that through Jesus, you can say thank you to God and praise his name. And then do good to others in Jesus' name. Hebrews 13 verses 15 and 16 says, "Through him then," that is through Jesus, "let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." I'd like to ask ourselves today, what are you or I thankful for? Here's a little task or exercise I would like us to take with us after today's meeting. Would you thank someone today? Of course, you should thank God Almighty. But is there someone else in your life that you could thank? If you are a dependent on someone, such as a child or teenager at home, give thanks to your parents or your caregiver. Parents and caregivers provide and support their children because they love them and care for them. But it is nice to be thanked too. Thank someone who has helped you out or made a big impact on your life. Let them know. Are you married? Try this. Go to your spouse sometime today and think of something that you are thankful for. Some might need more time than others on this task, so tomorrow is okay too. It's a holiday. Think of something about your spouse that you are thankful for. Be sincere. And then tell them. Just let it out. Let them know that you are thankful for them. I have a list here of areas that I'm thankful for that I've been considering and pondering over the last couple of weeks as I've been preparing for this Thanksgiving message. And your list will likely be different than mine. I've tried to keep it short so that I finish on time. But this is my I am thankful for list. I am thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who dealt with my sin, my personal sin, fully and completely at the cross. I am free and without fear because of what God has done for me. I am thankful for my relationship with God, my heavenly Father. Jesus didn't just deal with my sin. He also opened the way that I might have a relationship with Him, to know Him, to spend time with Him, to look forward to seeing Jesus face to face. I am thankful for Rania, my wife, a person who endures, who cares, who gives of herself day after day after day, that her family might have the basic necessities and the things that they need to feel good about themselves and to live life well. I am thankful for my parents, who raised one like me and didn't give up when likely many would have. They loved me. They supported me. They sacrificed and suffered for me. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. I'm thankful for being able to feel the warmth of the sun in my face on a warm and sunny September or October afternoon. Are we not so very fortunate to live here in Victoria? What a great place to live. I'm thankful to be able to move, to have working legs, working arms, and working eyes and ears. I am so thankful to be able to move and use this body that God has given me. I am thankful for my children, three wonderful children, who have all recognized the greatness of God and confessed Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Could you give a man a greater gift than that? A greater gift than all one's children recognizing the greatness of God, seeing their need of a Savior and saying to Jesus, "Yes, I accept you." Do you know what I have done to deserve all these many great things that I have been blessed with? Nothing. I did nothing. God has given me each and everything that I have. I can only give thanks and marvel at the care and love God has for one such as I. So maybe you'll join me today in having a list of the things that you are thankful for and give thanks to Almighty God, the one who loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus for you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Do you have it in your heart to help? Do you see that this world is messed up? There are people helping, and there are groups helping. I've done a little research myself, and you can do your own research too. But I'd like to share the name of an organization that helps people. And they help people in Jesus' name. I'm not a spokesman, nor do I get paid. I've just observed and recognized that Samaritan's Purse, run by the son of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, helps people who are in need, whether it is food or water or medicine. But they do it without hiding the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is right up there on the front page of the website. It says, helping in Jesus' name. They recognize that man's greatest need is not food or water or safety. It's Jesus. So if you want to help and you want to make sure what you give is done in the name of Jesus, have a look at Samaritan's Purse. In conclusion today, my conclusion is short. Be thankful. Make sure that you give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for Jesus and say yes to Jesus. Be thankful for others, especially other Christians. Make a point of thanking someone today. And if you're married, make that person your spouse. As my final thought for this morning, I'd like to look back to that verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 30 where it says, they are to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. You don't have to if you don't want to do this. You can just stay seated. But if your heart desires to, would you please stand with me right now? Stand up. Even if you're seated at home and watching, to thank and praise the Lord by singing hymn 221 in the blue hymnals. That is 221 in the blue hymnal. And thank you, Jana, after being put on the spot. Thank you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.